My topic tonight on responding, why am I responding the way I do? So if you look in your workbook, the first subtitle that I would like to talk about is responding to God's love for us. And when we think about God's love for us, as it says in 1 John 4, we love God because he first loved us. You know, it's not like we are deserving or that we have anything to offer to God. It's because God, we are God's creation, and he created us for his honor and his glory, and he loves us. But to get to the subject of why do I act the way I do sometimes, or why do I do the things I do sometimes? Why do I have these feelings? That's a good question. In Romans 7, verse 14, it talks about not being able to do the things we want to do and doing things that we don't want to do. I'm going to read part of it here. Romans 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." It goes on like that for a couple more verses. What I want to point out here is, just to put it in my own words, that the things that I would like to accomplish, I fail to accomplish. We all have aspirations in life, or things that maybe we want to grow in a certain area of our life and we struggle there. And then there's things in life that we would really like to gain victory over, but we fail to gain victory there. So what we're doing here is we're doing things that we don't want to do, and we're failing to do things that we would like to do. So why is that? In Romans here, it is because of sin. It is because we live in a fallen world, and we act the way we do because of sin, not necessarily our own sin sometimes, but the sins of others. Now, we all have sinned, as it says in Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can claim to be sinless. However, sometimes we are sinned against by people in our lives that bring about circumstances that bring difficulties in our lives that cause us to do things that we don't want to do and to fail to accomplish things that we want to do. It goes on to say here that God can rescue us from this. God can rescue us from the way we feel about what we do and act upon. And he will if we come to him. I'm assuming that in having an interest to listening to this topic, you also have an interest in bringing about change in some part of your life, in maybe responding in a different way than you are currently responding, and that you would like to be able to accomplish things that you have failed to accomplish in the past. So what we're doing by simply being here is recognizing that it's a problem And when we recognize that it's a problem, that's the first step in solving it. So when we have a desire to respond differently to these triggers, the assumption is that, yes, it is a problem, and yes, we would like to change. And that's good. So the first step can only be that we respond to God's love for us in that he gave his son for us. Again, as it says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. How much did he love us? He loved us so much that he sent Jesus, who gave his life for us. He died for us. You know, when you read in John 3, when in the conversation that Nicodemus and Jesus had, it's interesting to note that Jesus says we need to be born of water and spirit. He says we need to be born again, and that Nicodemus had a hard time understanding that. And Jesus told him that we need to be born of water and spirit. And that is a very good analogy of what happens in the new birth. So to talk about two parts, and this is a very important part of changing the way we respond to circumstances and what we feel, is the fact that when we are born again, one way to describe that would be a two-part, with the first part being a cleansing. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we accept that and ask God to live within us, God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. It says that ye are the temple of God, of the Lord. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that God dwells in us in the Holy Spirit. That's the filling part. So when we are cleansed and filled, we become a new creature. And that is the first step in allowing us to respond differently to things that we experience. This is not only for people who have experienced abuse. It is for everyone. Everyone needs to have the Lord God living in us, in our heart, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So current expectations are often based on our past experiences. You know, as a child, when we misbehaved, we would base our expectations of what's going to happen when Dad finds out on past experiences. So for some of you, that may have been very harsh. For some of us, that may have been a more tempered response in telling us where we were wrong and what we need to do to correct our behavior. In the same way, when we have feelings, or when we find ourselves in a certain set of circumstances, past experience is an indicator of what's going to happen for us. In other words, we base our expectations on what happened in the past. And it can be difficult to overcome bad experiences because of the effect that they have in our expectations of what's going to happen now. Can we change that? Yes, we can. We can change that by by remembering that God is in control, and I'll talk more about this later, but that we can base our expectations on what God promised us. As Byron so clearly explained, God is very merciful. He loves us. He forgives us. And we can base our expectations on what God has done for us, not only what we have experienced at the hands of our fellow family members or other people that we are in contact with. So sometimes we feel pressured by other people to perform or act in a certain way, or to respond in a certain way. And this pressure can come from a lot of different areas. It can come from our family, from our spouse, the church maybe, a lot of other places as well, our friends. And this can cause us to, it can cause us to rebel against what we know we should be doing, or even what we want to do. Like I said, starting out here, sometimes we are not able to accomplish what we would like to do. So pressure may be for you to do something that is actually wrong or sinful or damaging or unhealthy or repulsive to you. And for that reason, or for some other reason, may be negative or have a negative effect on you. So you need to, as it says in Galatians 5, you need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. There's a time and a place for boundaries, and that will be spoken about more in this conference. And I think when we feel pressured by others to act in a certain way, I think that's a good time for boundaries. But remember that it is God who has set us free. And we are to stand fast in that liberty and to remember that Jesus died for us. He loves us. But these pressures can cause us to respond in negative ways. So when we experience those pressures, if we can communicate to these people, to the person who is applying pressure, that what you are asking me to do is not where I am at right now, and therefore it is not possible for me to meet your expectations here. It's not that I don't want to, or need to even, but that's not where I'm at right now. But remember that it is God who has set you free. We struggle in relationships sometimes. So having a good relationship with God is the key, or one of the keys, to being able to have good and meaningful relationship with other people in our lives, like our spouse, our children, the church. And that is possible through the fact that God dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and live a godly life, then people are drawn to us. And people will want to establish a relationship with you. Now sometimes We tend to not want to be in a close relationship because of what has happened to us. We become very suspicious of relationships. That can be difficult to overcome, but I would encourage you to remember that there's a lot of good people out there. And while you need to be sensitive in your relationships on who you can trust, but the people who have proven themselves to be faithful and trustworthy, it will be beneficial to you to develop a closer relationship with these people and allow them to help you in your life. Like when we try to establish a relationship, when we cultivate our relationships with our children. Children in a certain age bracket naturally look up to their parents as mom and dad know it all and they can't do anything. That's a great time in life. But then once they're teenagers and things change a little bit, or maybe change a lot, it's important that we still have a good relationship with our children. So how do we cultivate that? We do that by showing them that we love them unconditionally. They're always going to be our children. And that they are important to us and that we are here to listen to them. When we do that, we open ourselves. We allow them to become comfortable to the point that they will share their struggles with us when they experience abuse or things like that. Again, children often base their expectations on past experience. So the way we respond to our children when they're young, that's what they expect when they have struggles, if they fall into sin, or if they suffer abuse, a lot of times they really think that they really messed up. They will only come to you if they actually really trust you and know that you will respond fairly. That's part of the relationship riddle. As an abused person, how do we respond, or why do we respond and struggle in relationships if we have not actually gained victory over what we feel or what we experience? Negative thoughts and bitterness and hate. The Word of God condemns bitterness and hate and promotes instead love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. The Bible also says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." So if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. And conversely, if we sow to the Spirit, we can of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So for us men, when we sow violence, anger, abuse, what do we expect to reap? What will our families reap? So when we sow, as the Bible says, we will also reap. So a lot of our hurts are because of what was sown sometimes by other people, sometimes by ourselves. Anger, bitterness, and hate are a bitter harvest. So if that's been what was sown in our past, how can we overcome this reaping and bring about a better harvest? The only way that we can do that is if we sow a different seed. So if we sow seeds of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, then we will reap a different fruit. And that will help us overcome the negative feelings and thoughts that result from the bad seed that was sown in the past. Again, a lot of times we can't help what was sown in the past. It was not our doing. But we are still responsible for what we sow. And we can't blame other people for our sowing of bad seed. So we need to make sure that we sow good seed if we want a good harvest. Again, one of the keys of overcoming the bad seed that was sown in the past that has resulted in our lives being hurt and the negative responses that we experience in our lives is in sowing good seed. So how do we sow seeds of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness? How do we do that? In this world, there's lots of wickedness. There's lots of needs. And I think each one of us has opportunity to sow good seeds. Now, we may think that I am not ordained, or I am not a prominent person, I have no position of authority, or anything like that. So therefore, I am not in a position to sow this good seed and to spread joy and love and peace. But we can all be a peacemaker. We all have opportunities to sow good seed. And I think Jesus' parables of using our talents as he intended us to use them, and how that those who had were given more, and those who did not use their talents, those talents were taken from them. What I'd like to point out here is that every person has opportunity to do good. And when you use those opportunities, God will give you more opportunity. Sometimes we think that we have to do really great things, but we really don't. All we need to do is be faithful in where we are at. Again, that's the key to overcoming negative thoughts, hate, and bitterness in your life, is sowing good seeds, and you will have a good harvest. Most of us would like to think that we have things under control. But what about when things are not in our control? Well, we have to recognize that most things are not in our control. Actually, very little is. We have to remember that we can control almost nothing. Except we can control our own response. And even that's pretty difficult sometimes. Actually, really difficult sometimes. To be in control of yourself and your response to what you experience or meet in life is a result of you being led by the Spirit. If you are living for yourself, you will surely show wrong responses and selfish responses. You can only control your response if you're led by the Spirit. My wife and I had a girl living with us for a number of years who was displaced out of her home through abuse. And as a result of that, we experienced many things that I would probably have said, that's pretty far-fetched if I had not experienced them myself. We're talking here about flashbacks and triggers. I am no expert on this, but from what I experienced in our home with this girl was that when bad things happen to you and you experience flashbacks and triggers, they are a result of the memory of unpleasant experiences that we associate with a person or a place or a thing or a sequence of events. And when we come into the proximity of that place or that person or that thing that triggers this response, it causes an involuntary response that is typically negative. And it can be very severe. It's kind of like a self-preservation instinct, actually. Not sure if that's the best description of it, but the way it seemed to me. What I want to point out here, so we were not prepared to deal with this, but obviously it required some kind of a response. So the way we dealt with it was that we would just reassure this girl that, okay, you're safe. There's nothing going to happen to you right now. You're safe here. And after it was all over, then she would like, did I actually act like that? Or what? Why did I think that this person was here when he was actually not here? And things like that. Well, so as time went on, our reassuring and us just being there, and when I say us, I'm being a little bit liberal here with that term. It was mostly my wife. She really did the hard work here. Cindy really helped this girl to understand that you are safe. My main job was to make sure that she couldn't run off or, yeah, things like that. As time went on, these flashbacks and triggers would be spaced further apart and they would become less severe. And we got to the point where, and Cindy should really be the one that's talking about this, but she would give her like Bible verses to recite when she was feeling this pressure or when she had these anxious thoughts. And eventually, she was actually able to combat these flashbacks and triggers on her own. She has since moved back to her family. And I'm sure that she still struggles with these thoughts sometimes, but she has become equipped to resist them. Now, she also became a Christian in this time frame, which helped her, you know, having the Spirit of God living in her. That really makes the difference and allows her to be able to resist those flashbacks and triggers. So sometimes we don't feel safe. Can I be safe? Am I safe? So how far do you trust God? Do you think God is pretty powerful, like really powerful, or almighty? I think God is almighty. Now, have I had things happen to me? Yeah. Do we sometimes question God, you know, why did you allow that to happen? Well, bad things happen because of the sin that is in this world. Does that make God a bad person? Or a bad God? No. God is good. It's difficult for me to tell you that you need to trust God. What I need to do is trust God. And when I demonstrate to you that I'm trusting in God, that's my best witness to you to trust God. Is anything too hard for God? That's actually God's own words. God told, when Moses questioned God, are you going to feed all of these people meat? Moses asked him, are you going to kill all the cattle on the hills? And God said, is anything too hard for me? God can do anything. I would really encourage you to pray. Remember to pray and ask others to pray for your situation, whatever you're experiencing. But I think you should pray for yourself and for others in danger that you think about. If you can, I would encourage you to pray for the offender. Pray for those who might be able to bring about change in your life that may be able to help you. Pray for those people because they need to make decisions that can affect your life. That could be church leaders or your mentor or whoever. Pray for those people. In conclusion, we feel the way we do and we act the way we do because of sin. We also respond the way we do, which is usually negatively, because of sin. Maybe not our own sin, but that of others. But we are responsible for our actions and for the seeds that we sow. We're not responsible for the sins of others. We need to take steps. If we want to bring about change, we need to take steps to bring our life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This results in a victorious and a fruitful life, which brings about change in the way we respond. When we are able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a victorious life, That changes the way we respond to negative situations. I would like to close with a verse in 2 Corinthians 13, I believe. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.